हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, then. Chaitanopanayanam Nyaya Sutras, Sutra 1136, page 40. Exemplification, Udaharana, is a reliable, relatable illustration, Drishtanta, having similar characteristics, Taddharma Bhava, to the subject, Sadhya, Saddharmya. Okay, another. You know how you say, form of translation. A homogeneous or affirmative example is a similar, familiar instance which is known to possess the property of the thesis to be established and is invariably contained in the reason given. Right, so...
No?
Okay. Means, the exemplification means your example. But you're exemplifying something. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring out. It's not just the example. The example is there as a tool to exemplify something. So it has to be relatable illustration, drishtanta. So that's the aspect that's there. Is this relatable? That means the person you're talking to, it has to be relatable to them. But at the same time, it has to have similar characteristics to the subject. You know. So in other words, your thesis, it has to be similar enough to the thesis that it can be connected to there, and at the same time it has to be something that's relatable, it's illustrative to the person you're talking to. Right? It has to have those two things. It can't be just an example on anything. So, because then what's going to happen is then in the fourth stage, the Upanaya, you're going to take that familiar illustration to them that's relatable and say, and so similarly, and you're going to bring it back to the thesis, the reason in the thesis. So it has to have that connection. So the person has to relate to it, and it has to be in line with, you know, how the reasoning is going. Right? Then you can say, similarly, this example, this is the same. You know, my reasoning is the same. And because the reasoning is the same, the reasoning is explained in the thesis. So you can't. So that's why you have to be careful. Is that your example is something you can actually do that with? Does that make sense? So there should be something in common that when you say similarly, they can see a relationship there. Right? Even if it's just one quality, it just has to be. It's not the difficult thing. I'm just saying. Sometimes you see an example doesn't work because it may have a quality that's the same, but it also might have a quality that's against what you want to do. I think that comes up also. It's when the example doesn't prove your... You know, sometimes you see someone gives an example and it actually proves your yeah. point. Or it maybe doesn't prove yours, but it defeats theirs.
Yeah.
It had some word in it or something, but the other aspect of how you would view it is actually more overwhelming. So it becomes a bad... You know, it's just like when you're talking to those people who are, you know, the you know, political kind of field. Is that the social-political field? Is that socio-political field? Or like that, is that... That you say something and the word actually has a particular meaning. If you look up in the dictionary, it means that. You say that, but to them the word has these various social political meanings, and so they just take it off into something else. So even though it's relatable to them, they don't relate in the word or the concept in its natural form, they relate to it in their modern political form. And so therefore it's the wrong example.
I had this experience once. We had a debate, and then that's what they did. Mm-hmm. They actually, by their point, they supported us more than it was supporting them. And then when everybody was voting, then the, you know, whoever was in charge of the debate, he actually mentioned that you guys, you know, put a goal into your own thing because you actually supported them more with that point. So yeah, it happens when it's not well thought out.
Yeah, well thought out.
When it's improvisation or, you know, or just people don't understand.
Don't understand, because that would be the drishtanta. I mean, not drishtanta. What's the last one? Nigrahastana.
Yeah,
is that they think that they're supporting what they're saying, but everybody else who knows the logic and what they actually say know they supported you.
Yeah.
So that means, they'll say the judges or the audience, they say that you won. The other guys don't understand how, because they gave such good arguments.
Because
they interpret things in their own way. And that, you know, it's their own language. Like political correctness is their own language. It's not the... So unless you speak, newspeak, you won't understand what it is.
That means they don't understand what they're saying.
Yes.
Neither they understand what you're saying.
So yes.
They are grounds for defeat.
Yes, they're defeated, but they think they won. So, because the whole point of logic is vada, is coming to siddhanta. And so, it's grounds for defeat in that you can say, oh, but they weren't defeated. But at the same time, but the purpose of having that is defeated. You know, that would be like going into the kitchen to cook, and you don't know what goes in where and everything like that, you know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like I put the colander on the fire and then pour, 2 liters of water into it and it puts out the fire. That's the nigrahastana. There's no cooking going to happen. They think, no, it's going on. You know, it's something wrong with the stove. You know, the fire went out. You know, so it's just means the other part does not understand. So there's no point in continuing the discussion. Doesn't mean they don't want to continue it for another 2 hours. You know, because it's only 9 o'clock and the standard, you know, brahmachari hanging out and talking nonsense is up till 11, you know, like that. And so we have 2 more hours. So what do you mean there's no, the discussion's over? Right?
Yeah.
That this invariably contained in reason, it sounds like the invariable concomitants.
Yes, he's trying to bring out that last one. He's the second one. He's bringing out the. He's trying to bring out the familiar instance. Means he's trying to be homogeneous, but he doesn't say affirmative. But homogeneous means it has to be with the reason given. So the problem is the homogeneous and reason given, which is at the end. We probably need to restructure the sentence.
Or maybe the footnote will explain.
No, it will be there, but it's always nice if we get there, because we have to sometimes restructure people's sentences because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
In other words, here is that you have many nice points being given from scholars, and so you'll take the point, but it's not that they actually understand the point. Yes.
So there is a minor term, middle term, and a major term.
Yes.
And the thesis point is to prove the relation between major and minor terms.
Yes.
In the reason, then you bring out the middle term,
right,
and you first establish the invariable concomitance between the middle and major term.
Yes.
That is the vyapti.
It's vyapti.
And in Udaharana, then you will tell from the middle and minor term the relationship. It's practically seen.
Okay.
And then the next aspect of Upanaya, then, because there is a relationship between a middle and minor,
right,
and middle and major, hence there is a relationship between major and minor.
Right. Yes.
So that's what we are establishing.
Yes.
So now we are in exemplification. We are just trying to show people that from your practical observation also, there is this relationship between the minor term and the middle term.
Yeah. So you just have to go back into this, take that, write out exactly what you said, and put that in the beginning. That's all you're trying to do. But that's the clearest one that's been there of what you're doing with that and how it relates. But what I'm saying is that comes out from you're working with it. But here is because this connection between the homogeneous, like that is the familiar instance and the reason. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. So those have to be pulled together, and then so therefore it is, that is the process. So in other words, the property of the thesis to be established through homogeneous affirmative example is invariably contained. You know, between the reason and the familiar instance. You know, like that. If you just reword the words, that's the problem in English. Is that a particular order means one meaning, you change the order, it means something completely different. You know, it's not like other languages because of the declination of the word. If you move them around, it doesn't have proper, I think, syntax, how you'd say it, but it still would have the same basic meaning.
Like you say, over the horse, over the fence, some hay.
What was that?
Throw the horse over the fence, some hay. Over the fence for the horse, but it sounds like you're throwing the horse over the fence.
Yeah. For some hay. That means you'll give me some hay if I throw the horse over the fence.
Right.
And generally it says make hay while the sun shines, so that means you do something that gets you profit, you know, like that. So therefore I'm going to get profit, I'm going to get paid for throwing the horse over the fence. That's the problem with English.
Yeah.
No. Because otherwise, in another language, you'd know that fence would be the thing that it's you know, the how you say, the object or something like that, and then the horse would be, you know, in that particular, you know, grammatical position on how it's the one that's being used as the and then you have the hay on the other side of the fence.
Actually, you have the punctuation if you don't.
Yeah, but actually, what you're saying is you have hay on this side of the fence. The horse is on the other side of the fence. He's hungry. He has no hay. Throw some hay from this side of the fence over the fence, because you can't throw it through the fence. Over the fence to the horse, so the horse can eat it. That's the actual original sentence. But because of the way, if you say it, if you don't break it right and stuff, it sounds like you're throwing the horse over the fence. So that's why you know is that it's the hay is being thrown over the fence, not the horse.
How did you say?
Throw the horse over the fence and hay.
Means he's meaning the horse over the fence, not the one on this side of the fence, because the one on this side of the fence is already eating the hay. And so he's eaten so much, and the guy on the other side of the fence is not going to get. He's freaking out. So therefore, you have to throw some from here over the fence to that.
Because if you just say, "Throw the horse some hay," and you don't see the fence, you try to throw it to him and it hits the fence. So you got to.
Yeah. So you have to throw it over the fence.
Some hay.
And you don't just throw it anywhere. You don't just throw the hay over the fence. You know, you throw it in the proximity of the horse, but to the horse doesn't mean on the horse. Because I don't think they would like that either. If you dropped a bale of hay on the horse, he would probably look at you like you're an idiot.
Probably get a hook in the chest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If not now, later. So that's what we're meaning, is that it's got all the right words in the sentence just by adjusting them around, and by the proximity you get more of an idea of what's going on.
So it seems that the heart of the whole logic is to establish this universal connection to establish the vyapti. That's the whole thing. The universal connection between the minor term and the major term.
Vyapti is...
The minor term, no, and the major and the middle term.
No, you're trying to get it to the minor term and the major term.
So
vyapti means you've established between the middle term and the major term. What do they call it when it's the middle term and the minor term?
That's what I am saying the udaharana is about.
Okay, it's establishing that. Okay, so the udaharana is
like
example.
Yeah.
Example establishes the middle and the minor.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as your reasoning establishes the middle and the major.
Major. That's the vyapti. So how strong is your vyapti, that strong is the logical ground for your inference.
But it has to have that good connection with the example.
Yeah.
So that's why there has to be, as he says here, reliable is having similar characteristics like that. Because it has to be reliable that it, you know, people would relate that this is actually proper.
So they call this sign, huh? Or linga. Linga establishes the vyakti. The...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very nice. It's like finally it fell into place. So in England they would say the penny dropped.
That's what you said when I was...
Yeah. So here it is. So this is all that, you know, that you've gone, the guys were gone for so long and that, so we were here, you know, like this, and then all these things of, you know, talking like we all know what's going on, and then finally we figured out,
so for
oh.
The poison came off, and then
yeah, and then the nectar comes up and all that, and so. Yeah, and so now that they've got that, now they can plan, you know, their next excursion like that. Okay, yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, we're leaving next week for that, and then they come back. And so then at the very end, where we're discussing wrapping it up and all that, then we give the summary and all that. Oh, okay, that's what it meant. You know, right? So they spent you know 2 weeks in total, and we spent 4 months, and so then they got the
result.
Yeah, result. Not necessarily. Your result might be better because you're not confused. Well, you were confused and all that. And I was that right? No, it was just
one. It's about the journey, not the destination.
Yeah. He's got it. He's got his sentence for every sentence.
Yeah.
So do I.
Well, therefore, they have the resume. All scientific works, they have, because like 100 pages, 200 pages, but they have like, they should have 2 pages that explain everything there.
Abstract.
Abstract, yeah.
Well, that's called the abstract.
Yeah.
Oh, so we would just call it, we would basically just call the pratigya and the hetu.
Yeah.
They call it the abstract.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They want to use the ascending process because that's where the taste is, and that's where your erudition comes into in display. But no one understands it without the abstract.
Yeah.
But that's the fun part: is the abstract is actually the concrete, and the rest of the paper is the abstract. Mm-hmm. Because concrete is then what you can actually see it in contact with the conclusion. The abstract is the general. It means you could take what their paper is. It's abstract because you could use it to go anywhere. But what they call the abstract is very limited in its application. So it's actually the concrete thing.
Yeah.
They call it abstract because it is not evident that it is proven. Then the whole paper is proving what they said. So that's why this is called an abstract. So
this is the thesis, and the rest is the. Mm-hmm.
Well, I probably have to give enough reason that you feel that there's prima facie, that it actually has some real substance.
It doesn't go through the whole thing, so there's no point in discussing all the panchamina and that.
Yeah. But you see, is that also from the Bhazin Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that, is that we take it that, how you say, as a general rule, let's say for the scientists, then what you see in nature, that's concrete. How you contemplate it, that's the abstract, right? But in reality, it's what you see is the abstract, because anybody can get any idea from what you see, the data, yeah. And then what you, in your mind, for you personally, how you think about it, that's the concrete, because that's how you work. You work from that concrete point. You don't work from the other. But they take it that because there's data, therefore it's science. But no, then you have to, what information, then from that, then what you're going to do with it, and what your purpose is.
Yeah. They try to make it as impersonal as possible.
Yeah. Well, that's again, that's considered then it's real knowledge, because then it's subjective, if you. But they're totally subjective in their approach to objectivity, because it's about how they think. Like Darwin goes to some funny island that's known for tortoises, and there happens to be some birds on there, and then he observes them, and so from this data, then what happens in his mind, how he puts it all together, which is his subjective, like that, he tries to turn that's based on the data, and that data is solid, when it's actually, it's just an abstraction of his subjective view of tortoises and small birds.
In Russian, we don't call it abstract, we call it after-referat. What was written by ourselves.
What's it called?
We call it after-referat, means after-referat. What was it?
After.
You call it
written.
Yes, really. Means on a paper? What their meaning is you have a big paper, let's say it's 300 pages. So you write a very small, like, synopsis where you're trying to give the exact main points, though you don't necessarily seem to come to a conclusion. You show what you're actually talking about. Because you're going through all this data and this.
They still call that a resume. They call that a resume? No.
What do you say you call it?
We call it after-referat. Means when we.
Author?
Author referat.
Author reference.
It's not reference, it's a. Yeah, it's again some kind of.
So it's like an author's point of view or.
Yeah.
Author's.
We'll also use it on college courses. The abstract will be the summary of what you're going to learn. It basically just means a summary, an extracted.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like summary. A summary.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the dissertation, we need to write why was it written, and what is the narration of this work, and which previous works were used here, and what is our conclusion. And it should be introduction of all thesis, and all thesis we should print only in, I think, 3 or 5 exemplars.
Yeah.
And,
5 copies.
Yes. And but after referat we need to write, to print in 100 pieces and to send to all doctors who are in our country. And they need to get it, and they need to only read brief.
Oh, so they know that someone's writing on this, so they don't write on it, and then there's an argument over who actually theory it is. That's interesting. They send it out so they don't fight over it. Okay. So in other words, what we would call the particular.
Yeah.
But then it's actually descending actual knowledge rather than.
With the reason setting.
Huh?
Yeah, headbutt in
the. Yeah, with the reason.
Particular headbutt.
Yeah,
okay, okay. Thank you as well.
Yeah. I mean, what do you call it? Means what do you put it at the beginning? Means we put the. An introduction, that's the acharyas. No, because it's a word we always use, but if there's so many words that start with that letter, then I am forgetting.
Prakashika.
Prakashika.
Oh.
But then it's because it's from the descending point that it works. It maintains, well, the other's still from an ascending, so it still leaves the speculation. But then let you know what the green is speculating about.
They also try to present it as descending way, because they will not consider it scientific work if there is no less than 100 references to other
people.
Oh, okay. Okay. Less than 100. And it has to be the other works. What if there's no, you're working in a field where there is no research? Or no one understands it, then how do you quote from anywhere else?
That is different fields like that. So you need to use it as an indirect way to quote some other. First of all, when you are trying to prove something, your research analysis, how you are going to prove that, the whole system needs to be established. So if you are not quoting a direct research work of somebody else, at least you should quote that your system of research is... Some quotation should be there, references, whether it's directly related to yours or not. Is.
So that means you could like quote from Marvel Comics or something, you know, really major things.
No, but if he has written a paper and which is published, yes. Okay. You can put anybody
with Stark. Only Stark and what do you call it? Hulk. Can you can refer to?
Anybody checks him? That's what I was always curious.
At least when
so
you are.
So you should check. Is it how do you write this science points and terrain and.
Your reference there, you're asking?
Yeah, it means all your bibliography. Does anybody actually
so
look at it?
Sometimes they do.
Yeah, but the standard, how it is mentioned, that they check. But whether this actually exists or not, they may or may not.
So then you could quote from the Tilastika Moksha Bandhana Shastra.
But you have to write it. There is an order how it is written, yeah. That which year published in which journal, yeah. And then like that.
Oh, whether they look at it or not, that's another thing. But yeah. I had a professor, an English professor, who did, because I was quoted from Forbidden Archaeology. It wasn't available at the Penn State Library, so I actually had to give her, I just gave her a copy of it so she could refer. Because she said, I can't find this book anywhere. And I was like, all right, well, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Just wasn't in that library. I mean, she could see that it existed, but she just couldn't refer to it.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes they will, but probably most of the time they don't.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. Footnote 20. Okay, example, proposition. Sound is non-eternal. Reason, because it is produced. Homogeneous example. Whatever is produced is non-eternal, as in a pot. Yeah, just a generic pot. For the Indian, it would mean, you know, a clay pot that holds these, like, you know, one of those pots. Mm-hmm.
Oh. That means it's whatever is produced like a pot.
Yes, as in a pot. Means the example is the pot. Means, oh, so example within not, the example.
The pot's not homogenous. The example of people knowing what a pot is.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Homogeneous would be the pot can relate to sound as non-eternal because it's non-eternal, and the person you're talking to knows what a pot is. Okay. Here, pot is a familiar instance which possesses the property of non-eternality and implies that whatever is produced is attended by the same property, non-eternality. You know, and also the point of, what do you call it, you said, relatable illustration means the person we're talking to. Like in this case, just how it was used, you couldn't relate to it. You know, because you didn't. But once you explain, then you understand what's the context, what kind of pot that means. Yeah. And so, because here, it would, a pot in India would mean a clay pot. And so you don't have those necessarily in the West, so when you think of a pot, then it's, you know, a teapot or, you know, so many other.
They use it very often for different purposes. This clay pot,
yeah.
For example, also for subcategory causes in the effect.
Yes. It's very because
nice
everybody uses. Everyone's seen the clay. They have the potters they make, and so these cultural things. That's why sometimes they probably give those things, but then they'll give an example more contemporary, you know, like cars and that, so that people would understand.
So Maharaj, exemplification is just to expand on your vyapti. It's like there is a relationship between major and middle term, which you have stated, but you just give an example to make it more obvious to the person. Because the relationship between middle and minor term need not talk about it because it's obviously visible.
Yes, that's where the projection comes
yeah.
in. Because what do you call it? The smoke and the mountain are
yes,
visible.
So there is no need of exemplification there. Exemplification is from the middle to major term. Though you have, there is a universal vyapti, but then you have to make it pratyaksha to the person. Now, this has become pratyaksha from that. Then that's how drishtanta is from what you know, then you are explaining what is unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what is pratyaksha is from middle term and minor term, what you can obviously directly see, the relation between middle and minor, that is pratyaksha seen. But what is not seen is the relation between middle and major term.
Okay, yes, yes.
So then, because from what you can see, then by giving an example on middle, which proves the relation between middle and major, then you're bringing that, the connection between major and minor.
And then once you've established that, then you can show the similarity.
Yes.
And therefore...
therefore both minor and major term get connected.
And that's the Udaharana?
Now the Udaharana is
no, that's the example. He was saying between the middle and major.
The first part, but then when you show how that example relates upanaya. To the original...
That's Upanaya.
Upanaya.
That's Upanaya.
Okay.
That's what Upanaya is doing, is now bringing it back. You started with your thesis, you brought it to the reasoning, still not quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something, so based on things that are, in other words, the things that are relatable in the reasoning, then you give an example that will connect to that, but exemplify the part you don't understand. But it's not necessarily that you're understanding directly the reason, you're understanding something that's similar to,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, like that. And so once that's clear, and that aspect of drishtanta is there, that first step, then you're going to take the second step of the drishtanta, where now you're going to say, similarly, just like this example, and you understood the connection between the middle and major term, then it also, then that major term is also connected to the minor term in the same way. You know, so you take that drishtanta, you know, to further to its actual. So yeah, does that make sense? Then you take it to the next step, which would be, in other words, the example gives an understanding. The upanaya, that just that would be, so that's one level. That's a level of drishtanta. Second level of the upanaya, then you're getting one of knowledge. Now you're seeing the connection there. But then now when you go to the last, the siddhanta, the nigamana, now you're getting the vijnana. So you're trying to take them through that. You said from understanding to knowledge of the vijnana. And you're using, you know, the examiner data as the medium. I mean, it's the point of connection. So
yeah. Oh, it's clear, actually.
Okay. Oh, I think, okay, so it's real, okay. Is that it? Yeah, sure, yeah. Whatever you want.
Is this the only material that we'll have, or there's a continuation?
There is a continuation called critical examination on this. Like, people may bring up doubts.
Huh.
Whether this exists. That will be another 30-40 pages.
30-40 pages. So, after this, we'll just continue with that. With
yes,
the second
yes.
part.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They just want to work in when they're going there.
No, no, I'm just thinking that how to present this, you know, to our students in Russian, because, you know, we have to go to the next level, and this is very, very important, because now they've learned the structure of the thing. But what we study now is that explains the logic behind this structure.
Context.
Yeah, yeah. So it's quite important, especially for the more advanced, you know, students.
This is complete in itself.
Oh, it's complete in itself.
It's like there are three levels. First you name an object, which is called Uddesha, then you define the specific characteristic of it. Then, after you named and you defined what is its unique characteristic, then you critically examine, you know, how it is actually applied and what are the pros and cons of application. So this first chapter, then he names what are the 16 padarthas and he gives unique features of each of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself defines like how you can apply, just like, you know, when you go to a driving school, he will tell how the gates function, this, that, everything. But the critical examination is you are on Indian road, so even if you are perfect, somebody else may
still
come
and see.
So that is the critical examination of art. So rather we don't enter into it.
In other words, for an international driving license, it should actually, the test should be held in India.
Yeah. If you survive that, you could.
Yeah. If you want to drive in another country, there is no need of critical examination of what to do when, like, you know, a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do when the lorry is driving down the middle of the road?
Not everybody's driving.
The problem is, if you're in a car, if it's a lorry, it's your problem.
It's your problem.
But the point is you can't move.
Yeah.
You have to stay in the middle until he starts to. It means, in other words, it's your problem until you make it his problem. Once it's his problem, he starts to move, then you move.
The horn is that defining factor. That's right. For everything you put horn.
Yes.
Depends on this highway from Mandal to the
Yamuna Express.
Whatever express it is. And they actually don't horn so much. They use the lights.
Oh, yeah, that was night.
It was early morning.
Yeah, early morning.
Okay.
But still, most of the lorries, I couldn't understand. They drive on that side. You know, the three lines. So you could go, you know, on the slow one, or in the middle even. No, they all want to drive on that one.
No, they always drive on the fast one. Even though, and if you want to pass it, you have to go around it.
And two of them. I thought they're speaking or something, you know, talking a little bit.
They didn't.
Just going like this.
Yeah. One's passing the other. It just takes 10 kilometers.
Now the catch point about the lorries is if they go faster than like 60 kilometers something, then the fuel costs more. And then the owners of the vehicles, they just put full tank at this place and they exactly calculate how much it takes. And the next fuel is put in the next tank. And they don't give money to you. They have contacts with the owners of the fuel stations.
So they cannot move because of this?
Because if they move faster, then the fuel...
No, what she's pointing out is why don't they stay in the slow lane?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, in the slow lane, because the other guys, the cars, from the fast lane, when they have to go out, then they will disturb you. Yeah. So they don't want to be disturbed. That's why they are on the fast lane. They're not.
That way you can come onto the highway, go off the highway. So it's out of consideration for you that they're driving in the fast lane. All this time you thought they were being inconsiderate. But if they're all there, all the trucks are there, you can't get off the highway or come on because there's so many trucks. They, you know, feeling compassion because they're on the road all day. They know how tough it is. So therefore they drive in the fast lane so that you don't have that difficulty.
Yeah, that's what he did now is there. First, I did the connection between minor and middle term, which was obvious. And now you did this whole thing to explain the connection, which was not obvious as the major and minor term. And now we come to the conclusion
that truck drivers are the most, you know, nicest, considerate people on the planet. Yeah.
This is driver's logic. Now we understand.
Yes.
Peaceful.
Breakfast.
Sure.
Oh, but those two are going.
Yeah, those are going. No, put that down. I didn't catch that. It's good thing you
caught that.
She's sitting there going, what the heck?
I actually fell through the pillar of the fire. Don't worry, we're not going to take it.
Is that brick still? Do we need to repoint it? What's in the pots? And those two. So if you can take what's in those two out of those two, then Madhusi can get the pots back.
And still milk or no milk?
Still milk. Yeah, well,
there's beetroot there.
And beetroot is good.
For milk?
No.
Yeah, beetroot and milk is a good combination.
Look at that.
Like, in the same pot.
I've seen where they make a potato kheer, where you grate the potato.
Yeah.
And then you boil, it's boiling, and you put it in, and then you cook it until the potatoes are really nicely cooked. You don't put too much. You put it in so it's still loose like that, but the starch thickens it up.
Yeah.
On a codicil, if it's done right, you put enough sugar, it's really good. Sweet. It's like instead of rice for sweet rice, you do it with potato.
Yeah, with potatoes.
Sweet potato, Maharaj. The normal one you're talking about.
You can use normal ones also.
Oh, but the sweet potato one, they always do in the...
But it doesn't come out thick. It's still like
you can make you can make it
thinner,
thicker.
Oh, okay.
But a sweet potato, that works perfect.
Okay. Yeah, here it's obviously just plain potato. Maybe they don't have so many sweet potatoes, or it's not sweet potato season. So many important things we discuss.
And because today is not Ekadasi, we are discussing an Ekadasi ritual.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's interesting. Because on Ekadasi we discuss about grain preparations that we can't eat, and then on the non-Ekadasi days we're discussing Ekadasi preparations that we can eat, but why wouldn't we be eating them?
Maybe progressing one.
Maybe just by that the hearts become more purified, and yeah, could be.
In what aspect of that question?
Yes, he's saying this is auspicious talks. Okay, Sutra 1137. Exemplification may also be a proposition stating an instance which, being dissimilar to the subject or sadhya dharma, does not possess the characteristic of the subject. He's using an opposite. In other words, you pick one that has the characteristic, or you can also choose one that doesn't have. But by the negative, you would understand. Does that make sense?
It's a negative.
If you cannot do the positive directly, because the negative way, the absence of it doesn't exist, so the presence of it is obvious, because the absence of it is, the example is...
I have an example, but I don't know if it's a nice one. You come in and that pile of garbage on the floor is not there. And then you call the guy over, what happened? You're feeling sick or something? No, what happened? You took you took out the garbage? Or it's a festival today, we took out the garbage? Or then they understand, they should take out garbage more regularly. Mm. Does that work?
Yeah, absence of garbage indicates that somebody has already cleaned it.
Yeah. So or that absence of garbage is what you want, though you're talking about the garbage.
The example they gave, I think.
They did?
Yeah, the same point, the same example.
Oh, we have one down. It's at the next one. Okay. So we're going down to... Okay, so... Proposition, sound is non-eternal, right? Reason, because it is produced, right? Heterogeneous example. Whatever is non-eternal is not produced, as in the soul. Here the soul is a familiar instance which is known to be devoid of the property of non-eternality and implies that if nothing were produced, it would be necessarily be deprived of the quality of eternality. And if he were produced, it would necessarily be deprived of the quality of eternality, i.e. being produced. And eternal are incompatible epithets. So you're using the exact opposite, just like, you're saying that sound is not eternal because it is produced, and just like the soul is not produced, it's eternal. Therefore, then sound being produced is not eternal. So you're just using it in the opposite. Better example than the garbage. Because this is just straight, it doesn't carry the underlying undercurrent of sarcasm. Yeah. It's like we were saying before in the beginning, when you use something that's above the emotional platform, So then, a heterogeneous or negative example is a familiar instance which is known to be devoid of the property to be established, and which implies that the absence of this property is invariably rejected in the reason given. So he's just the same sentence, he just reversed it, made from positive to negative. Okay, Sutra 1138. Nearing to conclusion, Upanaya, is the proposition which characterizes the subject as this is similar to ta, to the instance cited, right? In other words, the udaharana is the instance cited. It's so similar to the instance cited. So it's what's similar to the, or as this is not similar, you know, in the negative, not to ta, to the instance cited, according to the nature of the instance cited. Udaharana peksha. Upanayana is a winding up, which with reference to the example of what is to be established. So, makes sense? So you take the example, and then it's in line with that example, you know, either directly or in the negative, and therefore now you can take it back to the original.
It's interesting, Bhagavad Gita Krishna uses this tata, matrash parshas pitam philosophical sutra, because of tata, the hunter, that's you. So, he gives an example, and then he says, in the same way, the soul is. It's eternal. You have to tolerate.
You have to tolerate. Because the soul is eternal, it's not. And also you have the thing of that. Because the other is temporary, then talking about it means you're a fool. Yeah. And having attachment to it means you're a fool. Because the eternal is the actual position. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So you can use it in either way. You're either pointing out the eternal position, and therefore the other's naturally not eternal because it doesn't have its qualities. Or something's not eternal by something else that is known as not eternal. Is that?
Yes.
No, this is good. You were only one person.
Close.
She was quoting the second half of the
So what would you say? Close but no hari bowl?
Very close.
So in other words, according to the Anvaya, then it was actually the next so it's explaining that. It's right, just carrying on. So it was the thread of thought that he was quoting from. And it was just like in a pot of rice, you just give one grain to get the understanding of the whole pot. Hmm. No? Upanaya is of two kinds, one affirmative and two negative. So that's why it's been brought up here, is that just as the examples can be positive or negative, that means the upanaya also can be positive or negative. The affirmative upanaya is expressed by the word so, when the example is of an affirmative character. The negative of upanaya is expressed by the phrase not so, you know, or, you know, simile or dissimilar or whatever it is you just want to show, you know, just thus, it's like this, and so it's not like that.
So it has to match.
Yeah, it has to match. You can't use a positive.
In Udaharana and the Upanaya is negative.
No, it has to be. At least you could, but then that would be called Nigrahasana. Because that means you didn't quite connect things together in your own mind. Or if you're talking about the more contemporary knowledge than that, you would be called a genius because nobody understands what you're talking about. Right? Okay. 22. Proposition, soul is non-eternal. Reason, because it is produced. Sound is non-eternal. Reason, because it is produced. So, and then it continues. Example, whatever is produced is non-eternal. As a pot, affirmative application, so is sound, produced. Conclusion, therefore sound is not eternal. Right, so that would be taking the positive. Then we say sound is not eternal. Reason, because it is produced. Same example. Example, whatever is eternal is not produced as the soul. Negative application, sound is not so, i.e. sound is not produced.
Sound is not so, means
sound is not
eternal.
Sounds, but it would probably be, sound is not so. It would be better to put sound is produced, because it's not so, is that it's not produced. Therefore, sound is not eternal. Because it's not like the soul that's not produced, it's produced. Yeah. That means the pot is produced, therefore it's temporary. The soul is not produced, therefore it's eternal. So the sound is not like that. So that's usually the negative. So sometimes you see it works, the negative. So it's the same example being given. Sound is not eternal because it is produced in all the examples. It's just how you unfold it as you go. Okay. Then we come to the conclusion, Nigamana, is the restatement, puna vachana, of the thesis, pratigya, along with the reason, hetu, apadesha. Right, so that will be the conclusion. Because you'll go back, and that's the thing, is it's connected. Conclusion is the thesis with its reason. You're restating that now. Because you state in the beginning they didn't understand. Then you go to that middle point where you're giving example and then showing how it connects back. Now you see, now you can restate it and they understand.
Yeah.
Right? But just to make sure, because otherwise you say, oh, but we don't have to do that. We can just put it back. Just say you go back. People won't do that. They'll forget. That's why you have it in a line. Then you know.
Yes. Do you take you off the day shot and refer to the particular with the reason, or is it just part of the reason?
Along with hetu apadesha means reason, the whole thing in between. Hetu, udaharana, and upanaya.
Oh, all, okay.
All three. Having done all three, middle part, that's why then you can restate the thesis.
Now you can reason it. If I make a statement and give a reason, it doesn't, you don't relate to it. I give the example, which now you can, it has a connection with that reason, though you don't see it.
Yeah.
But you can relate to the reasoning of the example. Now I'll say, just like that, then that's an upanayana. Right. Just like that reasoning that you understood. Also, then the reason given before actually makes sense. Like that.
And also, the thesis point is the shabda aspect of it. The shabda vakya.
Oh, yeah.
And then now reason is the anumana you use, and example you use pratyaksha, and upanaya you use the comparison upamana. And having used all the other pramanas, now you are coming to the conclusion and stating the siddhanta point, because it's now the shabda vakya become a siddhanta, having gone through the whole thing.
Yes. But also then it gives rise to that means of siddhanta, like you said, that the Nigamana means Siddhanta, because
yes,
what you presented in the Pratigya is supposed to be Siddhanta.
Right.
But it also gives example, because it's coming from Shastra, therefore the further references from Shastra and that connection. Because you could also say it's because you're making your point and just not making just one point, you're making that point in a line of points. So then by giving the Shastra, you see where it's going to go. You can see some connection. But it's interesting, it does that because of that point of this comes from Shabda. Therefore, then it is conclusion, and it is, you know, the Sangati to the other verses. So we can see why those five positions are there. It's a very practical position.
Can you say that this is Adhikara,
these five? Yes. These five are the Adhikara. Means he used the term avayava, but when you use the five together, it's called adhikara.
When the five are used as a thing to fully prove a particular concept, it becomes an adhikara. That's why when it is said adhikara, Prabhupada uses these five instead of what Jaimini's five, vishaya, samshaya, purvapaksha, uttara, and siddhanta. Because it's doing the same thing. But the Gautamas, these five, if you study on their own, they're not yet, this conclusion is not yet proved the whole thing. The conclusion which we are saying here, it's not yet proved the whole point. When it becomes a Siddhanta, when you are using it to prove the complete concept, then it becomes finished. That's why then Vishaya Samshaya. In general, when there is no objections, then you can just go pratigya hetu like that. But when there are objections, then you need to deal with samshaya, purva paksha.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all embedded in one sense. You know, again the second reason and then second upanaya. So that's why we are asking the students to write, and they write more than one reasons now? Because we are clear. Then when we presented, like in a point they can prove the second reason, third reason, like that, and then so the middle three can keep going on, and also the fourth one, then you concluded that one. But again then you give reasons for apparent doubts which may come up.
Yeah.
So the final conclusion which you bring about summarizing the whole thing, then it becomes
that's the Nigamana or the Siddhanta.
Siddhanta.
Because the going back and forth is that you means what you call it, the Shamshaya Vishaya, or that, you know, that I say the Shamshaya Uttara, however words you want to use, that there's a doubt about a particular aspect, not necessarily the whole thing. So then you have to explain that, or it's the whole thing, but you have to take it through point by point.
There are different doubts in this.
Yeah, so it just brings in the element that it can be dynamic in its usage. It's not a different system,
as
may be confused. But and that's the thing, because they confuse it, then they can write books, and then they'll be a scholar, and they're the Nyaya scholar, though they actually don't understand anything Gautama is talking about.
It's like Maharaj, within one concept there can be more than one point to be proven.
Yes.
So to prove each individual point, then you use the system of pratigya, hetu and all. Mm-hmm. But to put it together and prove the overall, then you can make it in that terminology of Jaimini.
Yeah.
Because then he says Siddhanta, now it's that concept is proven, well established, and it can be like used and it's on to.
Although it doesn't need to be proven.
Yeah,
because
it's
shabda. Still in the context of preaching.
Yes, you have to prove it, because, that's the thing. Shabda doesn't need to be proved. That's the first thing, that's the first point actually that Mimamsa makes, is that you don't have to prove shabda. It is truth on its own, whether you understand it or not. So that's why there's no relativity. It's self-evident. It's just we not identifying as the self, it's not evident, because it's only self-evident. So only if you identify as the soul, then it's evident. But if you don't identify as the soul, it's not evident. So, yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.